everyone. Welcome to the Dangerous Man podcast. It's good to have you with us. If you're tuning in,
Dangerous Man, really? There's more than one.
Yeah. Good point.
We're not singular.
I'm here with a couple of dangerous men. You should have did there, including a special guest for today. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a fun fact.
Yeah, I'm Adam Tevz. I go to John Brown University. I'm a sophomore there. Fun fact, I am majoring in finance and entrepreneurship. That was a fun fact.
What the heck do you do with that after college?
I could go down the corporate ladder if I wanted to and start a...
That's not really entrepreneurship.
No.
Aren't you supposed to go up the corporate ladder?
Well, up it. And then
it's
and
more
then,
of a corporate slide.
Break on.
You hit the corporate slide and then become an entrepreneur.
There you go.
That's right. And then build my own business that way. Don't really know how that works, but that's why I'm learning.
How'd you end up there? Finance and entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Well, I took an entrepreneurship class in high school and I really loved it. And I just want to own my own business someday. Work in an organization that I could hopefully make my own. So
cool.
Yeah.
I love it. And what kind of high school did you go to that you could take an entrepreneurship class? I think my high school was cutting edge enough to start giving you college classes that early on.
Yeah, I did take some college credit. I went to a college prep school. I went to Southwest Christian High School, which is in Minnesota, out here in Chaska, Minnesota. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's a nice college prep school. I love the school.
And you said you're playing soccer, and I think you told us prior to us starting the podcast that your coach quit on you.
He didn't quit on us.
I don't want to hear about that story. That's
no, he did not quit on us. He retired.
Right. That's what I said.
Yeah. So, you know, when you have health issues and you have a family.
Legitimate reasons.
Yes.
Okay.
You need to move
the
to
college coach.
Go be with your family.
Coach.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
College coach.
So, okay.
So now we're in the search of finding a new head coach.
Yeah. And I propose to you that you apply, put your hat in the ring, and become a sophomore in college that plays goalie and also
sounds
is your coach.
Pretty
and you,
entrepreneurial to me.
It does. It does.
You didn't love the idea.
No, I don't think I don't think I'm prepared for that yet.
No?
No.
You'd have to go down in credit hours or what?
No, I think I would have to quit school if I did that.
Okay.
But I'd be making money, so I mean.
Might be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what are you doing back in Minnesota? For a week in the middle of March,
you know, spring break and duty calls with family.
You're not so, in Cabo.
I am not.
Or on a beach somewhere.
Well,
like
I wish
the rest of college.
I wish.
That's good. That's good. So what are you up to this
nice
week?
It's nice to not like your family. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I like them a little bit.
Yeah, don't tell them.
No.
And just in time for our first actual snowstorm.
No,
tonight
no.
And Sunday. So no. Thanks for that.
Allegedly.
Of yeah. Of allegedly. Yeah. We haven't seen it yet. So
we'll see.
Yeah. We'll keep waiting.
Yeah.
So you got involved in running a Dangerous Men group last fall. Is that right?
Yep. Fall of, would that be 22?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the fall before.
And how'd you find out about Dangerous Men?
Yeah.
Well, that's a loaded question because I know this.
I found out about Dangerous Men actually in high school. My high school soccer coach, who Lowell, you're a good friend with, Cookie, he kind of led a group of our soccer players on the high school team through it. And that's kind of how I heard about it, but I didn't really go through it because it happened at a time that I had conflict. So I couldn't go through it in high school. But then,
what were your real reasons for not going through it in high school?
Well, I actually had work on Sunday nights.
Okay.
That was like one of the only times I could work
yeah.
with high school and sports going on. So I didn't go through it then, but I had heard about it. And then my dad knew you, met you at some...
Yeah, he met me.
Some, what was that?
Gathering of Warriors.
Yeah.
How did he get there?
Big one.
Yeah.
Catchmark. Yeah, Greg Catchmark. Shout out Greg.
Okay.
So they both worked at North Central University.
Okay.
Skiba.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Catchmark brought his dad to one of our gatherings.
Yep. And then I found out there was a Dangerous Men group going on at my school my first semester there that fall.
So his dad I mentioned it at the gathering, and his dad comes up to me afterwards and said, "My son goes to John Brown. We got to get him." And he gets him on the Facebook, not
FaceTime.
FaceTime, not Facebook. FaceTime. Gets him on FaceTime, and we're talking to him. And it's like, I tell him who the leader is, who came from Missouri. He actually went through Dangerous Men with K Life in Bolivar, Missouri. And then he said, "Yeah, I know him. He's on my soccer team."
Huh. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that was the first Dangerous Men group you actually went through in college.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I went through like two lessons in high school.
Okay.
But didn't complete it, obviously, until
scheduled off after chapter two.
I don't know. He came back though. He knew what it was about the second
true.
Time.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
So you started leading a group right off the bat. Is that the case?
Yeah. Right. We finished like we went through the Steps of Freedom in December, the first like week of December, right before the first semester ended.
This is in 2022.
This is in 22.
Were you leading that group?
I was just a part of it. Okay. That was my first time finishing it, going through the Steps of Freedom.
Who led that group?
Lathan Martin and Noah Toll.
Okay.
They are from Bolivar, Missouri, and they went through it before.
Yeah.
And then, I just right off the bat, one of the other guys who was in that group with me, we're like, "Hey, we're going to lead this group." And then I put some of my best friends through it that I met. And there were eight of us plus me and the leader. So about 10 of us, in that first spring group. So, and then last semester I took a semester off. We were kind of telling people about it, but we didn't get too much interest, and it would have been hard for me to lead with soccer as well. And so I was trying to get some other guys to help lead, but they just couldn't do it. And now I'm leading two groups this semester. We're about six lessons in, so we're kind of on the final stretch. And
let's go.
It's been really good. So I love it.
And who are the groups with?
So I'm doing a group with some freshmen that I met.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I knew two of them decently well. Like we could walk by each other.
Are they soccer players?
Nope.
No.
One soccer player, but I kind of knew him.
Okay.
I didn't know him too well. And then the rest are just some freshmen that I was like, "I know you guys hang out in a big group." I just passed like the two guys that I knew, "Hey, just bring your guys."
Yeah.
I'm going to get pizza. We're going to do a Bible study this semester. Just come and I'll get everybody pizza. What do you want? Just show up. And that's kind of how I started that group. And then the second group.
Did it shock them when they found out what it was about? Or did you just start with, "This is a Bible study"?
Bible study.
Well, I told him it was just a Bible study to get him there.
Yeah.
And then psych. I showed him all the cool videos when we first started. And then I just told my story.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of how it got going.
Perfect. Yeah.
And then we got one more to join that wasn't there at that first meeting.
Okay.
And so we ended up having eight guys there at the first meeting plus me, so nine. And then now we have 11 in that group.
So all of them came back.
Yeah, every single one of them from the first meeting came back.
You must be pretty good at this.
I would say I'm a decent convincer in a way.
Yeah.
I
dabble. Just tell them it's a Bible study.
Yeah.
Come to the Bible study.
And then the second group that I'm doing is me and some of my soccer friends. So they're all upperclassmen. One of them is engaged now, and he's getting married this summer. So
he doesn't need this anymore, huh?
No, he does.
That was a joke.
No, he doesn't. Everybody needs it.
Yeah.
So it's different because I'm leading guys that are younger than me, and I'm leading guys that are older than me. So it's like two different paths that I need to navigate in a way. But it's challenging, and I love it. I love challenges, so.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about that. What would you say are the biggest differences between the younger group of guys that you're leading and the older group? Just the way that they look at life or their priorities or the different stuff, their situations they're dealing with. What are the biggest differences?
Yeah, I think the group of soccer guys that I'm leading through, they're all older than me. They all have girlfriends that are, hopefully they're all going to get married soon. And I know one of them, he's already engaged, so he's getting married this summer. And so me as a single guy who's 2 years younger than all these guys who have been dating these girls for a long time, navigating that path of, okay, when do I step in and like try and give relationship advice, even though I don't have much there, and they've been dating these girls for 2-3 years. That's like the biggest issue with that group. And then the other group of freshmen, they're just rowdy. And
love the rowdy.
Oh, it's so much fun. I like both groups. I love leading them, but like we won't start a lesson with a freshman group until like an hour in. Like we'll be talking, we'll be eating food. We bring snacks every week, and so
how long do you go at that group?
You
start at what time? Goes to what?
So
time?
We had been starting at 10 p.m. on Thursdays.
Oh my gosh, starting
at 10 p.m. and the first 2 weeks we went to like 1 a.m.
Oh my gosh!
And so then we moved.
That's awesome.
We moved it up to 9 p.m. and so we go till like 11:30.
Wow! Midnight.
So it's a solid. Like we did a really quick lesson. We didn't do a lesson. We just talked and like planned our spring break in a way last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do a new lesson because we're kind of ahead of the curve. And that took an hour and a half. But if we do a lesson, it takes about 2-2.5 hours, which is great. And then the other group.
And that's about normal, actually, about 2 hours.
Yeah. And there's about 11 guys in that group. So the more guys you have, yep, the longer it takes. Yep. And then the other group, there's only 6 of us, and we can crank it out in 45 minutes if we wanted to, just really quick. And I mean, they're more mature, so it's easy.
No discussion?
No, we discuss a lot. Yeah. Okay. But I guess we're fast readers, yeah. I guess. So the other guys, we read a sentence and then we go on a tangent.
What happened to all your buddies who went through it the first time with you?
Yeah, there's another group going on. And there's about 13 guys in that group, 14 guys in that group. So a big group.
That's the one Lathan's
running it with another guy that went through it. And Luke Dishman.
Okay.
And so they're leading that. And then we were trying to get a few more groups going. But this semester it kind of was last minute. And so we kind of just had to settle down with who we had. So we have about 35 guys going through it right now. Between those three groups, which is really good. And we had 15 guys last year. So we got about 50 guys that have gone through it at JBU.
That's sick.
And it's only our second year. So we're just building and building. And I know there's a group that I'm going to lead next semester with some guys. And then I'm just hoping that it keeps going and going and going.
And why do you hope that?
Because I want to get men to become dangerous. Just not for, obviously not for next year, but for the future with their wife, for the future of being a father someday. I mean, that's kind of what it's about. So
when you say you want to make men dangerous, what's it done in your life that's transformed your experience that makes you want to give back and see that same thing happen for other men?
Yeah. I struggled with pornography for a long time and I was kind of in the darkness for it for about 3-4 years. Nobody knew I had the good Christian boy phase of, okay, my reputation was really good and nobody knew what was going on behind the scenes. And then once I got to college, it was like, okay, I got to find a new identity in a way. And my identity fell on Christ and, just getting in the word more often. That helped me. And then going through this with dangerous men, I just know how it can change a life. I've seen it in other guys and I've seen it in my own life where I'm choosing women, pursuing women as like, oh, this is what I got to do. This is the cool thing. And to pursuing Jesus and pursuing other avenues of life, like I got to pursue soccer. I got to pursue getting in the gym more often instead of, oh, I'm going to go out and party. And through Dangerous Men, I was able to get in the word more often and have that accountability because I have a fighting partner and I have all these vessels through just this small book that kind of just helped me in many ways.
Mm. So what are you seeing in these two groups that you're leading? What's happening? What are you seeing happen in terms of transformation, the guy's perspective, what they came in with versus what's come out of them during the time and where they're at now?
I just see a lot of vulnerability. I mean, in today's age, men, like, vulnerability, like, that puts you down in a way, just in the culture we're in. And what I'm seeing is all these guys are wanting to be better for themselves, but the only way they can do that is with other guys surrounding them.
Mm.
And in one of our groups, I just see these guys coming together, and every little thing they do now, they're like thinking in the back of their head about, how can I change? How can I be better as a man, not just today, but for the future? Like, even guys are starting dating some new girls. Like, what are the set boundaries that you're going to have just off the jump where you don't cross those lines? And a lot of it's accountability. A lot of it's being vulnerable to each other about, like, hey, this is what happened. How can we get you better from this small thing that you've did, that you've done? And so I just see that in a lot of art groups, in both groups right now, that, okay, this is how we're going to get it done. We're going to come together as a band of warriors together. And there's only one way to do it, and that's together.
Yeah.
So
you're an athlete. You got big visions and dreams. You were talking about going on and getting your MBA and starting a company. You're buying a company and doing, you know, like, you have a vision for your life. How do you see Dangerous Men and what you've encountered through here playing a role in that? And like you said, encountering the Word and Jesus through that experience, how's it shifted the trajectory of what you believe is possible in all of that as a result of this?
You know, in my life, I just see how God works every little thing for my favor. Just from, like, this past year, I redshirted for soccer. I had tendonitis in my wrist, so I had to kind of give it up. And I was playing through the pain. I was like, no, I just can't stop playing. This is, like, what I'm here for. And now, looking back about 5 months ago, when I decided to hang it up for the year, because I had to be out for 8 weeks if I was going to be, and that's pretty much the season. I see God's graciousness towards me, because now I have an extra year of eligibility, being able to have that medical red shirt. And that kind of leads my steps up to, okay, well, if I want to get my MBA, I have an extra year of eligibility to, instead of just go back to school without soccer, I can play both. I can do school and do soccer at the same time. And then even, like, in high school, there were a lot of doors that closed on me with schools I wanted to go to for soccer. And one school in particular, I was, like, fully committed that I was going to go there. They had the money for me. And then they had a guy that was coming back for graduate school, and they're like, okay, you're going to have to compete for, like, a third or fourth starting position. You probably won't start this next year, and we don't have the money we have for you. And so then I'm, like, back to square one, where I already told all these other schools that I'm not going to go there because I said I was going to commit to the school, but now I'm not even going to this school. Now what? And so I was kind of back to square one, and then God just opened doors with John Brown University, and I'm there now, and I love it. The culture is just right. Most people are pursuing Jesus, and I feel like just the school you're at, it's all dependent upon the student body. And a lot of people are on campus and they're on fire for the Lord. And that's really, like, God's really shown me by going to this school instead of, like, a big popular secular school, like, where my faith could have dwindled and fallen. Mm-hmm. Where it's now just super strong and stronger than I thought it could ever be. And now I'm leading these Dangerous Men groups.
That's here pretty too. Awesome.
So
talk to me about the evolution of your identity and how you see yourself through all of that.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. for me in high school, like, I struggled a lot. I'm pretty extroverted. And so my identity was, oh, what do other people think of me? And as I guess I got more mature, I've seen God be like, okay, instead of how do other people see you, how do I see you? How does God see me?
Mm-hmm.
Just in what I do in my daily life, whether that's like just getting up at a certain time, rather than, oh, I could sleep for two more hours, but getting up, getting in the Word. And just for me, I know, I don't even know where I'm going with this right now, but, but for me, I know that every little thing you do, has a trajectory for your life. Whether that's like just being motivated to go to the gym, if that's what you do, being motivated to make money and work, that's something you do. For me, it was, I'm going to do all I can to follow Jesus, and eventually that'll lead to just him leading my path, because he will.
Exactly.
And
I think you got it down there.
So, and he'll just lead your path if you just trust in him. And so that's where I've just put my trust in him, and every little thing I do, I invite him into just my daily life, whether that's, oh, I have a test coming up. Hey, come help me with this. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to practice. Okay, come play. So
has that perspective and that sort of shift in your identity and how you see yourself, has that affected some of the difficult challenges and obstacles, like the tendonitis and things like that you've encountered?
For sure. I know, like, I was not wanting to hang it up, like, for the season when I redshirted. I was like stop playing. I had so much pain in my wrist that like I couldn't even like write something down because it hurt so much. Like typing on my phone hurt, even though it's like barely any movement with your thumb. But I just felt, as I prayed about it and I talked to a lot of people about it, talked to a few mentors about it, I talked to my dad about it, I just prayed like, hey, God, I know you got a plan for me. Is this what you want? And then I didn't want to hang it up. And then right when I let go of it, I was like, he just lifted a weight off my shoulders. And just every little thing that I do now, I just have to give it up to him, because, I mean, he already knows our plan. And I can't, like, battle against God, really. Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't work too well.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that
just ask Grant.
Yeah. Eventually you get fired.
Yes.
No matter how hard you try. Yeah.
I like to think of it as against, more just kind of like sideways.
Negotiating.
Yeah.
Negotiating.
By the way, good
negotiating.
For people who are listening who didn't grow up in the church, getting into the Word means reading the Bible. Like Christianese, you know, they might not know that. So
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our Christianese translator, Lowell. Yeah,
thank you.
I like to translate
the day.
Christianese.
Yeah, yeah. That shift in perspective to, I'm going to follow God with my whole life and I'm going to let him take care of the rest, sounds a little bit like Lowell's life verse that we've talked on this podcast about. What role has that played in your willingness to lead Dangerous Men groups, disciple other young men, give you a passion, heart for, I mean, would you have done that 4 years ago? And how has it affected that sort of shift that you talk about, that evolution yourself of being very concerned about what other people think? And then you just shared 15 minutes ago about standing up in front of that group of freshman guys, telling them your story, which is probably some stuff you weren't super proud about.
Story means lustimony.
Yeah.
I mean, the sexual history and stuff.
Yeah. At one point in your life. So would you have done that?
I mean, I don't think so. I was still like super extroverted, and I'd be up front and be like, hey, yeah, this is what's going on. But I don't think I would have the courage to lead a group in a way.
Or be that vulnerable.
Yeah, definitely not as vulnerable 4 years ago as I am today. And I know that since I went through it, other guys can go through it. And I know God's given me some leadership abilities, and just have a conversation with somebody, I'll go out of my way to do that. And through that, I know that's kind of how he's leading me down these Dangerous Men groups, and just helping others because I know how it helped me and I've seen how it helps other guys as well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I jumped into it.
We need whole lot more young men like you with the same attitude. I mean, you know, yeah. Otherwise, you know, I mean, that's what's going to set the church, the big church, all Christians free, because men have to get free from these issues and learn how to fight spiritually.
Yeah.
And if we don't get that, it's going to be sad.
Another Christianese translation. The big church means all Christians across the world.
Thank you, Greg.
As Adam was talking about sort of that, what he's seen in the transformation of the guys in the group, I was reminded of what you said, Grant, a few weeks ago when we were talking about Dangerous Men and its effect in getting guys completely free from porn. And you had an awesome analogy I forget how you articulated, but it was a perfect, I think, definition for what happens in guys when they go through it, about sort of acting as a fork in the road.
Yeah, like an inflection point in their journey.
Yeah. Say more about that.
Yeah, that was more of like, I'm sure you experienced this too, of the first Dangerous Men group. Like Lowell always talks about, it's a process. It's not a, like, you don't go through Dangerous Men and you're at the end of the study, you go to the retreat and you're like, everything's fixed now. But it's this inflection point in your journey. And it sounds like, I mean, you've obviously described that of, I was here 4 years ago, high school, and then going through Dangerous Men in this process. Not that Dangerous Men was the only thing, but being able to experience that of, my entire relationship with Jesus is completely transformed in a completely different place. And I mean, just from my own journey of the biggest number one issue, and every guy that has gone through Dangerous Men, or the majority of the guys, the number one issue is pornography and lust. Between them, being able to intentionally follow Jesus in a real and legitimate way. So that was kind of that.
How I kind of like started in it was, I didn't even like think about the decision. I just said, okay, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the decisions that God's been making in my life, I don't have to think about it. I just say, okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had to, because your dad was on the phone.
Well, that was like,
your dad's looking at you.
Yes, I'm in. But even like leading these groups, you just asked me.
You are,
like,
doing this.
Even the first group I led, you asked me at the retreat, are you going to lead a group? I was like, sure, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, like, that's so cool. Your passion is awesome. For helping young men.
So, and it was the same thing. I'm going on a mission trip this summer. I'm going to Kenya. And one of my buddies came up to me like, hey, you should come with. I'm like, no. Why would I do that? The money, like, I have so much time this summer to just do something else. And then, like,
literally anything else.
and then 10 minutes later, I was like, why not? Like, what's holding me back from going? Mm-hmm. And I just went up to him. I'm like, I'm in. I don't even know. I didn't talk to anybody about it. I didn't pray about it. I just said, I'm in. I'm going to pray about it now. And then if God's like holding me back from going, then obviously I won't go. But that's kind of been the decision with.
As long as it's not over, you know, the leadership retreat in
Colorado. No, it is not.
Oh, good.
We're doing it in Kenya this year. Jeeping in Kenya?
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. It would be amazing. Oh. Go faster. Jaguar.
We can think about that.
Yeah. So what's the Holy Spirit been saying to you? What's God doing in your life right now, where you are today?
You know, it's just been a nice mellow semester. He's kind of been teaching me how to lead these groups. I feel like when I led the group last year, it was, okay, I'm leading this group. I have no idea what I'm doing. And now leading these groups, I'm like, okay, now I had a trial run, and now these groups are freaking amazing. I want to keep doing it. And every group that I lead, I'm learning stuff.
You learn way more leading it than you do going through it.
Oh, way more. And I mean, it's like, okay, how do I get these guys more invested? Oh, we're gonna bring snacks every week. I'll assign two guys to bring snacks. And that's just another way for them to like put money into it, obviously, because they're going to buy the snacks. But then they're like, okay, I need to do this for the group. Mm-hmm. And then they're so focused on bringing snacks to it. And then they get there and we're like, okay, we're all set. Yep. Now we're going to focus and get into the lesson.
Mm.
And so I feel like just the Holy Spirit put on my heart. He put it on my heart over the retreat that there should be a club, Dangerous Men Club at JBU. I don't know how that's going to work. I just feel like, okay, I'm leading these two groups right now. I got guys that would be willing to lead it next year, hopefully. And I hope we could start this club up and get some more guys into it.
Hmm.
So I just see that God's going to keep moving John Brown University.
Hmm.
And I feel like one way is just more groups and more groups, getting more guys in it.
Yeah, you have a whole new freshman class of horny boys coming in every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, which has been a positive and a negative. You know, the older guys, if they don't catch the vision to help other people,
mm-hmm.
they graduate and then nothing happens. It just dies. But you've caught the vision of, I actually want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
We need that a lot at all the universities.
Yeah. So what do you say to a guy who's listening to this, who either hasn't been through Dangerous Men yet and something about you sharing has piqued that interest, or a guy who's been through it and is either on the fence or has never thought about leading? What would you tell
him? Just go for it. I mean, kind of how I was talking about me making decisions. You just can't think. You just do it. Like,
yeah, thank
you. You just don't think about it. You're just like, yes, I'm in.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're like,
when I have a theme that says
just yeah, say yes. Yeah, yeah. All you have to do is say yes. And once you say yes, then
to God.
Like, to God.
It's helpful.
Exactly.
Or yes. Adam, if you need help. God isn't working for you. Then
don't say yes, say to yes the to devil. Adam. That would be bad.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, if you are that guy, if you need help or support starting or hopping into a group, you can always visit dmu.org to find resources to connect with us, to reach out.